this morning. I was thinking about this last week. Wrote a little article. And I think it's appropriate in the time in which we're living. You know, I try sometimes to think. I told you that fellow from the Constitution Party contacted me because I was a member of the so-called Black Regiment. And of course, the history there. Because you sometimes think, well, you know, am I doing right? Is this what we ought to be doing? I'm convinced it is. And well, just because other folks aren't, just because other pulpits are silent, you know, during both the first and the second wars for American independence, if you want to call that, you know, Baptist pulpits around the country resounded. And I think it's appropriate for us to stand like those that went before us did. And I think they were standing in accordance with the scriptures. And so I wanted to answer some things, to touch on some things, and I don't know how much hearing this will get. Got a little bit more hearing than I expected already. But in response to the question again, oh, why would you go armed? And indeed, I do go armed pretty much 24/7, as much as possible. If I don't have a firearm strapped on, there's usually one very close proximity within an arm's reach. And I do prefer to carry open. There's all kind of different values of that. I just think, you know, there's a deterrence there. There's a testimony there, if you will, and some other things that I'll touch on as I go on. And I carry openly where I can, which is pretty much at home and our league meetings, our church meeting house. Sometimes I do at the girls' houses too, if I don't have to take my coat off or whatever. And again, something I've touched on and mentioned to you all before. I increasingly come to understand there's no division between the spiritual and the secular, folks. Well, that don't belong in church. Well, where does it belong? You know? Like, you know, I've got this I do over here and I do this over here. I'm a different person. I'm a different... No, I don't think so. I think we need to understand, you know, of course, God's holiness and apartness. We sing holy, holy, holy. I mean, we understand that concept, but to us as Christians, you know, we're not supposed to compartmentalize our lives. We ought to be what we are. You know, Lord talked about those things, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And of course, in addition to our church meeting house here, which is in the bottom floor of my residence, our league chapter meets here as well. And I think that's important to some of the things I'll have to say as I go on. Of course, Florida, you know, does infringe upon our God-given rights in the aspect of open carry. And when I can't open carry, I conceal carry, and I have a permit. Again, there's a little bit of mixed feeling about that because that's another infringement upon our God-given rights. But if you remember, as we got through studying Romans and what the Lord had taught in Matthew about the rendering unto Caesar, I think properly understood, is to understand, you know, they got the big guns and they got the prisons and they got the helicopters and the drones and who knows what else. You know, to keep those things in mind and for things that are not directly infringing upon or directly impending upon, you know, our obligation of God to recognize those things and to act with diligence and to act with discretion. And so, yeah, I got a permit so to keep them off my back in case something does happen and in other circumstances. Specifically, there's a number of reasons I go armed, and I'm sure I could think of a whole lot more. But I jotted down a few this past week as I was thinking upon them, and I've been asked in the past. Now, I go armed because it is a God-given and unalienable right. You know, those are things that don't come from a piece of paper, that don't come from government. It's like Diane was talking about some of her discussions with people and said, well, secession is not legal. What does that mean? We have rights of God, from God. The founders of this nation understood that there were unalienable God-given rights. Man has a right to self-government. So regardless, and I, even in accordance with the Constitution such as it is, I don't think anyone can prove it's illegal. It just means nothing. It's insanity. But to understand, we have God-given rights. We have unalienable rights. And I think the Scripture time and again confirms the right of self-defense. And a passage we've often referred to, and folks try to dismiss it in various ways, but I think if we, the more I look at it, the more I'm confirmed that, you know, the Lord was specifically telling His disciples that there's a need to arm themselves. And He was telling them it's a priority. Then they got arguing about things, and He said, you know, that's enough, fellas. You know, He wasn't saying, well, one's enough for all of you. He just finished telling them that they each needed to have one. And they said, well, we got one. He said, you know, that's enough. You know, he wasn't contradicting the words that had just come out of His mouth. Luke 22:36, then said He unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Priorities. The importance of things. So I go armed because it's a God-given, unalienable right. I go armed too because my duty as a husband, as a father, now as a grandfather, well, for a long time as a grandfather, is to protect my family to the utmost of my ability. Again, where Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And the provision there, that word is not limited to finances. Again, according to Strong, which folks like to appeal to on the meaning of the original meaning of these words, that word provide means this literally, to consider in advance, that is, to look out for beforehand. You know, we're supposed to think what might be around the corner, what might be down the road, what might be the next week, and to consider those things beforehand. You can't wait until it happens, because you won't be prepared. Same way as we try to put away some food and provisions. And brother, and again, I'm just more and more impressed as I look at what's happened here in the realm of firearms and of ammunition. You know how quick that happened? You can't buy any 223 ammo if you wanted to now. Well, unless you want to pay $1 a round. I mean, it's still there, and if I didn't have any, I'd get some. But thankfully, I did. And it's to think ahead! It's a lot better to get it when it's 30 cents than when it's $1. Or when you can't get it. The same way with the fire. Those things are coming. I mean, we should foresee these things. We've been talking about them for years. It's not a surprise, and it's going to come in the other realms of our life as well. You can count on it. If any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. And so it is, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, they see me going armed almost all the time. I don't hide it. I don't cover it up. They know that I'll do what I can to protect them and our well-being. Against what may come down the pike. And I try to anticipate some things. That's again, to think in advance. To prepare for in advance. Consider in advance how I might provide and protect them. I also go armed as a as an example and an encouragement to others. I might see others so act. You know, if people did that, we'd have a whole lot less trouble in this country. One fellow who wasn't by any means a Christian, but he wrote, and I think there's a good principle to it, that, you know, that an armed society is a polite society. And the only thing has recently been said, I don't know that he originated it, but Wayne LaPierre's, the only thing that stops a bad man with a gun is a good man with a gun. I mean, do we really believe in goodness and in standing for those things? And so I encourage my family, I encourage you all, I encourage our league members, friends, acquaintances, to go armed. And not just by the words I say, but I try to by my example. Paul said in Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. I'm not saying I'm a great example, but I try to be. You know, and this is one area, again, that I think that I ought to be an example for others. Okay, a fourth reason I go armed, because there's evil men that would do me or mine harm. Brethren, there is evil about. Read the paper. Don't believe most you see there, but read the paper. Watch the news. There are evil men. And a lot of them even now are wearing costumes of the state. But there's evil men who aren't. Well, just as a side note, how many of you saw anything about, I saw it on some local things, you know, the police out in California shooting up a bunch of women that were delivering newspapers. Did you even know about that?
Not on the main media.
No. I kept watching and watching the national media to see them say something about it. They ambushed a 47-year-old woman, I think she was, and her 71-year-old mother that were out delivering newspapers because they had a vehicle that looked sort of like the guy they were looking for. Wasn't the same color. They're out delivering newspapers, and they riddled it with bullets. They shot the one woman in the hand, and the mother was shot a couple times in the back, and she's in the hospital in critical condition. Did you hear about that?
Over 40 rounds in the car.
You know, to protect and to serve themselves. I got off on a tangent there. I kept watching the national news. I kept watching ABC. I said, surely, 25 minutes later, the same police department shot up another vehicle. Fortunately, the fella, they missed. Fortunately, the police don't go to the range as often as I do, by and large. That's a good thing. Riddled another vehicle. Yesterday they drew down on a heavy set black man in San Diego. And, you know, to protect and to serve themselves. But I'm just saying, listen, all the bad guys aren't out there in the hood. A lot of them are wearing the costumes of the state. The Lord said this in Mark 3:27. No man can enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Brother, I'm going to make them get rid of me first before they get to mine. There's evil men about that would do us and ours harm. In particular, an incident comes to my mind, and something I tried to highlight with our sheriff, who said, well, you know, oh, the Southern Poverty Law Center, these people, well, we don't have anything to do with our daily operations. They have something to do with mine. You remember back in August 15th, the fellow that attempted to have a mass shooting at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. Family Research Council is a Christian group that stands for traditional Christian values. According to the tagline on their website, they stand for the advancement of faith, family, and freedom. Now, those are some pretty terrible things. Recently, that shooter pleaded guilty to charges that had been brought against him. And the Family Research Council released a press release. And I think, you know, we can learn much just by listening to that. From the Family Research Council. Shooter used Southern Poverty Law Center's website to identify FRC as target. FRC's Tony Perkins again calls on the SPLC to stop reckless labeling of Christian organizations. Earlier today, Floyd Lee Corkins II pleaded guilty to three charges, including a District of Columbia charge of committing an act of terrorism. The charges stem from the August 15, 2012 shooting at the Family Research Council's headquarters. Today's hearing also revealed that in an interview with the FBI right after the shooting, the shooter admitted his guilt, which was captured on video. He said he intended to, quote, kill as many as possible and smear the Chick-fil-A sandwiches in the victim's face and kill the guard, unquote. The prosecutor said they reviewed the family computer and found that he identified his targets on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins offered the following reaction. Quote, the day after Floyd Corkins came into the FRC headquarters and opened fire, wounding one of our team members, I stated that while Corkins was responsible for the shooting, he had been given a license to perpetuate this act of violence by groups such as the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has systematically and recklessly labeled every organization with which they disagree as, quote, a hate group. Today, both assertions were validated in court as Corkins pled guilty to multiple criminal charges, including terrorism. The Southern Poverty Law Center can no longer say that it is not a source of for those bent on committing acts of violence. Only by ending its hate labeling practices will the Southern Poverty Law Center send a message that it no longer wishes to be a source for those who would commit acts of violence that are only designated to intimidate and silence Christians and others who support natural marriage and traditional morality. Once again, I call on the SPLC to put an immediate stop to its practice of labeling organizations that oppose their promotion of homosexuality. Whether the SPLC continues to demonize those who hold to biblical morality or not, the Family Research Council will remain unequivocally committed to our mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom, concluded Perkins. Now, whatever the Family Research Center may be, and I'm sure they do a lot of good stuff, you know, compared to this local church, or, you know, compared to the League of the South, and the stands that we would take for morality and tradition and culture would only put us, you know, at the forefront of those who are looking to strike back against those who do not advocate political correctness, those who do not advocate collectivism and liberalism. Whatever they would find to hate in the FRC, they will find multiple times over in this local church and in the League of the South. And in particular, I've pointed out before, the League of the South is listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. I got to looking around on their hate map. And just some other areas. I think it was maybe in Indiana I looked up, and there was a neo-Confederate group there. All these people are, they sell like bumper stickers and stuff. They label them as a hate group. This little living the life or something like that it was called, and I think it was in Indiana. It was up there, I think it might have been Brother Dale State there. They just irresponsibly, you know, label anybody. They come across, do a web search, and they see a Confederate flag or whatever, and you're a hate group. Well, the League of the South is listed as a hate group, and if you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center and looking for the hate groups they have on their hate map in Florida, you'll see a Confederate flag, and you'll see a hate group in Archer, Florida. The League of the South. Archer, Florida, neo-Confederate hate group. Well, again, all that would be necessary there is someone to Google League of the South and Archer, and we come at the top. There's our website. And of course, we want folks to come out to our meetings, so we got a map there and tell folks exactly how to get here. And I'm not going to change that. But I think we need to realize that there's wicked men, there's evil men that would do us harm. And if a Floyd Corkins decides that he wants to take revenge against someone on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map, I realize we're not as big and famous as the FRC, but he would probably have more reason to hate us. Who knows? Is it foolish to say, well, that can't happen? You think the folks at the Family Research Center said, well, we're a Christian organization. That can't happen here. You know, you're paranoid. No, I think I have an obligation to be prepared and to be armed and to be prepared to deal with such. Okay, fifth, I go armed because I want to confirm my own mindset of resistance to criminality and tyranny. You know, I've talked about this before. You know, we have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves to do what's necessary to maintain our families, to maintain our way of life, to maintain those things that the Lord's been pleased to put in our trust. We have to prepare ourselves to do that. We have to be mentally ready to do that. And I want to confirm that to myself, so I go armed. And I want to show that forth to others. I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared spiritually. I want to be prepared mentally. I want to be prepared physically. And I guess you can include that materially, whatever, you know, that I have what's necessary to resist. I had in our paper, and I saw somebody said you can't fight tyranny with your fists. Well, I suppose you could, but I don't know how far you're going to get. I think we need to be prepared to confront evil men that would harm our family, our way of life, and again, whether they be petty criminals, whether they be deranged psychopaths, or whether they be governmental tyrants. And I understand that, you know, those three often coincide with one another. Just look at what's in Washington, D.C. As I stated when I started, you sometimes think, well, is this what I ought to be doing? Is this where we ought to be standing? Is this the right thing? Folks would say, well, that church shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be talking like that in church. You shouldn't be doing those things in church. Of course, they're the same kind of folks that call me on the phone and want me to come down and, you know, give them gas for their lawnmower on Sunday, or, you know, they want me to pay their utility bills. Diane talks about some of her clients that want her. They can't pay their TV bill. What do you call them things? Diane's like, you're talking to the wrong person. You know, I don't have cable. I don't have satellite. You know, these people, they're down and out. They can't pay their cable bill this month. Well, those same people, when I tell them no, they say, well, what's church for? They don't have a clue. Probably because they've never been to one. Same kind of folks that say, well, you shouldn't be talking about this stuff. Well, they would have told our Baptist forefathers that. Again, Chuck Baldwin's made that list of what he called the Black Regiment pastors. There was a Black Regiment. And they were called that because of their black robes that they usually wore, black cloaks that they wore when they preached from the pulpit. There was a Black Regiment at the birth of this country. There was a Black Regiment at the birth of the Southern Confederacy. Perhaps the Lord will see fit that there be a Black Regiment now at this critical juncture which we stand, which seems more and more to be something very similar to what we've seen there. Our Baptist forefathers, if they did not originate, took up the motto, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. The whole Mammoth Cheese story and so forth. And John Leland. And the motto that no king but Jesus. I think we need to take those things serious. And so I go armed to demonstrate to those would-be tyrants that I will not comply with their diktats. I will not register my firearms. I will not surrender them to government bureaucrats. By the grace of God, I will stand. I will stand where the Spartans of 480 BC did when the Persians came and said, well, just surrender your arms. 300 against 1 million Persians. And the Spartans said, my long love, stand where our ancestors did at the first war for independence. And the name of the fort escapes me, but there was a fort, I think it was in South Carolina, the British came and basically said, you know, just surrender, just give up. And they said, no, you come and take it. And the Texans in Gonzales in 1835, those souls that stood. And because of that, not because we have a standing army over in foreign lands killing women and children, no, but because of men like those that stood in the first war for independence, like those who stood at Gonzales, we do and still enjoy a measure of liberty and freedom. And I think we owe to them that we would stand. That we would stand where those before us stood. And that we would provide for our own. That we would consider in advance and look beforehand at what may come. God's sovereign and His will be done. But I pray that He give us clarity to see where He would have us to stand and what He would have us to do. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing together a hymn this morning. Count your blessings. And regardless of how dark it may seem to our human eyes, we have innumerable blessings to count from God. And our salvation, our provision, one another, this is church. And I think it's important that we recognize those and honor them and seek to protect them. 243. Count your blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thanking all is lost. Count how many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, thinking that Christ promised you his wealth untold, count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your hope on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you've poured out upon us. Lord, the blessings of freedom and liberty that we enjoy. And Lord, we understand that you used those who went before us to pass those blessings down. Lord, that you gave them courage and strength to stand. Lord, to realize, to confirm, to demonstrate that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. That they would have no king but Jesus. Oh, we would pray for such men today. Lord, we would pray to be such men today. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Lord, thank you for the strength and encouragement that you allow us to draw from one another, to be to one another. Father, we thank thee that thou art the sovereign God, that those things that transpire in accordance with your will, that you've placed us here in this time. Lord, help us to be the servants you would have us to be, to live out our lives in accordance with your will and your principles. Lord, I pray again for your healing hand upon our many brethren that are afflicted. To strengthen their bodies, that you encourage their hearts, that you be with their families and those that treat them. Father, thank you for your love. What a love that you manifested in your Son. Love that you've allowed us to experience. And love that we in no way were deserving or could be. Father, glorify yourself and your servants. Go with us as we leave this place. Bring us safely together again. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.